Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Justin sent me an email, asked me a question, said, Steve, I got something I need you to walk me through. I said, I could answer your question, but could I do a video instead? That way I can answer your question for you, but other people can learn from it too. And he said, great. So I think this is the kind of thing that we need to know about. And I've talked a little bit about some of this before, but it should all be in one place. And we're talking about when you finance a car at a dealership, what happens with the paperwork and what happens when something goes wrong. So here's the story via email. Steve, I watch your show on a daily basis and I love it. I'm having an interesting time with a dealership now. I bought a used 2019 Expedition on March 26th from a dealership in a nearby big city. My paperwork states that the lien holder is a well-known national bank. The dealer also told me that my first payment was due on May 15th. May 15th. I never got any information on how to pay that loan. Now, I bank with that exact same bank in my other stuff, and I figured the loan would simply show up on my online account, but it never did. I tried to add it, and it said I couldn't. So if you do online banking, you know, you go in there and list your different accounts, and if you have a new account, you say I'd like to add an account, and it walks you through the process. But when you go to add an account that the bank doesn't know about, that might be a problem. Yesterday and again this morning, I tried calling the dealership and left a message with the finance department to call me back, but they didn't. So this morning, I called the bank and had the pleasure of enjoying their online system for way too long before I spoke with an actual person. They told me I didn't have an auto loan with them. They looked it up and found out that an application had been filed but was never finalized. So he went into the dealership to buy a car, agreed on buying a car, price and all that. The guy filled out an application, said, you're approved. They filled out all the paperwork, gave him the keys. He drove off the lot with the car. Never gets a payment notice from the bank. And the bank says, we don't have a loan with you. We have an application for a loan, but no loan. So somebody dropped the ball, as we say. So I called the dealership back and told the receptionist I was upset and I explained the situation. And now magically, the finance department has time for me. The salesman said he'd call the bank and get right back to me. 10 minutes later, it turns out he never finished the application. Now he's going to mail me a new one to fill out and send back. And he says they're mailing it back and forth because he lives 4 hours from the dealership. So he goes, I don't particularly mind doing this. I bought a car. I understand I need to pay for it, but I'm not excited to get another inquiry on my credit for the same thing. And he's worried that because the other application was back in March, this application is in May, they may have to pull his credit again. And so it'll look like he had to pull his credit twice for one loan. My question is really, what would have happened had I not been contacting them? Would I have been legally in trouble for, you know, holding onto the car? And, you know, he did say, you know, I bought a car, I expect to pay for it. But I'm just trying to figure out what's going on here. Thanks for the content, Justin. And Justin, thanks for the question. It's a great question. And, you know, years ago I wrote for Opposite Lock and Jalopnik, which are two, they're under the same umbrella company. But Opposite Lock was a sub-blog. And I used to write stuff for them. And I actually wrote an article about a situation like this, where a guy's financing wasn't done properly. And the dealership just came and took his car. They repossessed his car, which they weren't allowed to do. And I wrote an article on it called, you know, Don't Let the Dealership Steal Your Car Back. And at that time, it was like a viral piece that I wrote. It went crazy, got hundreds and hundreds of thousands of views, which was pretty amazing because at the time, I was just writing those things as like a hobby, just for the fun of it. And so here's the thing. You have to understand the transaction. And we talked about this about a week ago in a different context. But if you go into a dealership to buy a car and you're going to finance the car through somebody else, okay, not a buy here, pay your lot, but like you go to like just a big car dealer like this guy did, you're going to buy a car. Think of there being three entities in the transaction. There's you, you're the buyer, the dealership is the seller, and the finance company we'll refer to as the bank because it's got fewer syllables than finance company. So buyer, seller, bank. So you go into the dealership and you agree to buy a car from the seller. The seller agrees to sell you a car to you, the buyer. And so when you agree to do that, you could whip out your checkbook or a pile of cash, which I don't recommend you carrying for civil asset forfeiture reasons, but you could pay for the car and just slide the money across and they slide the keys across and you go home and you paid in full. But if you finance the car, most car dealerships in America, the big ones, are going to get financing from somebody else, a bank, a credit union, or one of the finance arms of the car companies themselves. So the old days of GMAC became Ally, Ford Motor Credit, that kind of thing. So if you read the contract that you sign when you're buying a vehicle like that, okay, there's a loan agreement. And the loan agreement and the sales agreement and all that stuff gets wrapped up into what's called a retail installment sales contract. Retail installment sales contract. And the contract we're talking about will actually say, we are selling you a car. And it'll actually say, we is the dealership, you are the buyer. We are selling you a car. You agree to pay us as described below. And then elsewhere it says, and we have the right to assign this contract to somebody else, the bank. And by assigning the contract to somebody else, you're agreeing right now that instead of paying us, you'll pay them. The obligation you have with us can be assigned to somebody else. And that's how most of these transactions work. And so if you buy a vehicle, you go to a dealership, brand new or used, whatever it is, you sign the contract, you drive off the lot with the vehicle, you may have given a down payment to the dealership, and notice the down payment is made out to the dealership, right? So you make out the down payment to the dealership, but then they assign the paperwork to the lender, the bank, and then you get a payment booklet or payment notice or something from the bank saying, now pay us. So that assignment is why you start paying them instead of the dealership. So what happens sometimes is that there are some dealerships that will tell you you've been financed when you haven't been. This depends on the state. Some states are not allowed to do that. Some states they can. Some states will actually allow a dealership to be open on a Sunday when banks aren't and tell people we think we got you financed. And then if the bank on Monday goes, we're not going to finance that person. Well, then the assignment failed. That's what we call that. The question is, does the contract say what happens when the assignment fails? Because in some states, they are legally allowed to do that. Some states, they cannot. Okay. And so what that's referred to is a spot delivery. A spot delivery means that you go in, you buy the car, and they give it to you on the spot, hoping the finance goes through. And in some states, spot deliveries are fraught with peril. Some states, they're perfectly legal. And it depends on whether it's legal in your state. If you've got a document that says, by the way, if the financing falls through, you got to come back and you got to work something else out. But here, where they said your financing went through, it's been approved, here's your stuff, here's your keys, go on your merry way. Now, apparently, it's not that the assignment failed. There never was a loan contract, okay? Not a completed one that was properly assigned to a lender. So remember that we talked before about how when you buy something on time in America, especially automobiles and other consumer goods, there's often a thing called a Truth in Lending Act contract that has a row of boxes across the top, and it's designed to put you on notice of what you're getting yourself into. So for instance, the first box says the annual percentage rate, and then it says the cost of your credit as a yearly rate, percentage. Could be 0%, could be 5%, could be 19.9%. Then it says finance charge, the dollar amount the credit will cost you. So this is how much that interest is going to add up to. Then the amount financed, which is how much money that you're borrowing in essence that's going to be the loan amount that you're financing. The total payments, which is the amount you will have paid after you have made all payments as scheduled. And then the total sale price, which is the total cost of your purchase on credit, including your down payment of boom. The reason I'm pointing that out is that in Justin's case, where they go, look, we put the application in, we didn't get it completed. They told him that he had a contract with all those numbers figured in. Now, when he goes back in the dealership, the key here is you say, that's the agreement I've got right there. So when you send it to the bank, it better get approved. So it doesn't get approved. That's the deal we had right there. And that's the point. So if you sign an agreement with the seller that contains certain terms and says, this is what the deal is, and you walk out after everyone signed it, that is your deal. When they sent it to the bank or failed to send it to the bank, it's not your fault. You still have this contract. You still have that agreement. So go ahead and let them resubmit it. Hopefully they'll accept it. And if they don't accept it, then you have to explain to them, say, well, here's the problem. We've got an agreement. Now you might say, but Steve, wait a second. If there's no bank to take your money, what do you do? Well, in the case I mentioned at the very beginning where I said I wrote an article for Jalopnik that did very, very well on Opposite Lock, I had a client who contacted me and said, Steve, I got a problem because I went at the dealership. They said I was approved. And 30 days goes by. I get no payment thing. He goes, and now they're calling me saying they want to repo my car. And eventually they did. And there's a reason why this went well for my client. Besides the fact he hired me. And that is that if you read the contract, it says you agree to make payments to us unless or until we assign the paper to somebody else. They had called my client up and said, bank won't do this. You got to come back in and rewrite your contract. And my client goes, do I have to? I said, no, you don't. Why would you rewrite your contract? Contract does not say if the assignment fails, this contract is void. Doesn't say that. At least that one didn't. He goes, so what do I do? I said, pay the dealership. That's what the contract says. The contract actually says you agree to buy this car from us and pay us this, and we can assign this agreement to somebody else. But if we don't assign it, it's still here between us. So in a roundabout way, if Justin had wanted to, he could have just started sending payments into the dealership. But the interesting thing is that his first payment's actually due today. So apparently they started working on this before the problem hit the wall. I'm mixing metaphors again. I hope you don't mind. So the real issue here is, again, buyer, seller, bank. We have a contract here. If you go to assign the contract over here and the assignment fails, the contract comes back. Contract is still good in most states. Now, this gentleman is not in Michigan, so depends on how this plays out. So Justin, I'm going to let you know right now, if you run into more snags on this, and you might, if you run into more snags on this, contact me. I know attorneys in your state. I'll hook you up with one. You can talk to them. They'll give you some free advice to double check. Make sure that what I'm telling you is true there as well. So this stuff does vary wildly from state to state, but the Truth in Lending Act stuff is federal. That's federal. So if you're buying a car on a retail installment sales contract with a loan in America, you should be seeing this set of boxes across the top just to let you know what you're paying on the loan. But like I said, if you actually sit down and read the document, and it's often 8.5 by 14 or 8.5 by 17, there's these big, long, crazy documents. You know, it has this stuff at the top. It goes, you know, you're buying a car from us. You agree to pay us. Boom, boom, boom. Between you and us, you and us, you and us. At the bottom it says, and we can assign this contract to somebody else. But the assignment of that contract does not affect the validity of the contract itself. It's simply talking about the relationship between the seller, that's not you, and the bank, that's not you. It has nothing to do with you in a roundabout way as far as the validity of the contract. So in a situation like this, this gentleman could have, if he wanted to, start cutting bank payments, not to the bank, but to the dealership. Say, well, I had an agreement with you. I'm honoring my agreement. Because what happened in the case that I told you about at the top is that my client, when he came in to see me, I said, send your checks into the dealership. And they cashed one. And I think they refused to cash the second one. They repoed his car. And when he called the police and reported the car stolen, the dealership said, oh, no, we repossessed the car for non-payment, which, of course, is impossible because he paid them. So it went to court. Hilarity ensued. And we had fun with that. And my story about it did very, very well on Opposite Lock. So there you go. But Justin, thank you for the kind note. And the question's a good one. But go in and try to work it out with them. But stick to your guns because you have a signed contract. And that contract says you get these things. And my concern is that quite often they'll do this and use it as leverage to try to say, oh, you know something? First bank shot us down. Second bank says they'll do it, but they need a couple more percentage points. Don't let them do that. Because that was the scam with the spot deliveries or the yo-yo sales. They often call them that as well. Is they would give you the car, let you fall in love with the car, and then say, oh, by the way, financing fell through. Wait, how can the financing fall through? You told me we had a deal. So, well, we need a couple $1,000 more. That sounds like a personal problem to me, my friend. So, great question, Justin. Thanks a lot. Questions or comments, put them below those. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Everybody really needs to laugh. If you don't laugh, you're taking things much too seriously.